Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm El Presto, the Phoenix Sun, and I'm in the cave with my man, PLR.
One day to go. We have made it to Thursday. One day to go till Friday. What's going on, everybody? Happy Thursday to you. You are in the Cave Show with PLR. Hopefully, everyone is having a great day. That's right. I said you have tuned in to the Cave Show. This is PLR, and we are brought to you, as usual, by the one, the only Maduro Twine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. Get on down there. Let them know that PLR sent you. Let them know that PLR from the Cave Show sent you, and they will take care of you by taking 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. That's Maduro Twine Cigar and Tobacco, located at Chandler Heights and Alma School in Chandler, Arizona. We were down here yesterday doing the show live. Thank you for everyone who listened. Thank you for everyone who rolled through. Appreciate that very much. Okay, everyone, let's go on and let's jump into this. Let's have some fun. Let's talk D-backs as they came through yesterday, and the bats came alive, and wow, that's all I can say is wow. Pitching wasn't what I thought it would be, to be honest with you. With Greinke up there on the mound, I thought, for sure, he gets runs early. That's it. No, Colorado, just get on a plane and go back. But those Colorado Rockies, they wouldn't stop. They would not stop and coming. But they never could quite catch the Arizona Diamondbacks. They could never quite catch him. It reminds me a little bit of basketball when you got a big lead and you're trying to hold on to it, and the other team is making this furious comeback. Your coach always says and makes you feel, as long as they don't catch us, we're okay. And when you say catch, you mean you don't want them. Even if they tie it, you never want them to really grab the lead. You don't want them to feel like they've had true success because they technically never caught you. Now, the D-backs were up. Let me just give you the stats. 3 in the first, 1 in the second, 2 in the third, then 3 scoreless, then 2 in the seventh, then 8 in the eighth, and they needed every one of those runs. Every single one of those runs. And they got every single one of them to count. Numbers look like this. Chafin for the Diamondbacks got the win. And Gray for Colorado took the loss. Yesterday we had my man Jim Marshall on from Easy Sports Radio over there on NBC. And he said, when I was asking him, you know, that old pick the click, who do you think would have a good game? And he said, I think a lot of people say I'm taking the easy way out, but I'm going to take Goldschmidt. If Goldschmidt gets a hit, you know, as he came into the playoffs, 0-4, 0-4, 17, his last 17 at bats, and just a terrible, terrible hitting September. He said, if he gets a hit and sets the tone, that'll make everything so much easier for everybody else. Gosh darn it. And I said it. Gosh darn it. He did just that. Goldie set the table with a 3-run dinger in the first inning. And it was all to the running then. D-backs bats were on fire. Archie Bradley chipped in with the triple, an RBI triple. So I said, I like when he said pitcher helped his cause. Well, dang it, Archie Bradley did more than help his cause. Like I said, for the D-backs, it went something like this. First inning, Peralta single to center, Marte single to right, Goldschmidt homer to left. Just that simple. 3-0 D-backs. 3-0 D-backs. In the bottom of the third, I told you they added another run. Excuse me, another home run. Oh, wait a second, though. I apologize. I'm selling out the Diamondback second. Really simple. Marte tripled. Peralta drove him in. Real easy. Now let's move to the third. Lamb singled. This guy also hit a two and homer. And this is the way this is the storyline. And then the Rockies started. Then the Rockies get their runs. They get four. Top of the fourth. And all of a sudden, every butt cheek starts squeezing. It's like, crap, these Rockies won't go away. Then in the seventh, they get another run. Rockies got the lead 6-5. Like, oh, crap. This is not good. Bradley comes in, settles things down. And then he comes up to the plate after Lamb singled. And after the Scarso walked. And then it went something like this. Bradley comes up, and what does he do? He triples. Scores two runs. Now you're thinking, well, great. Everything's going to be good now. 8-5 lead. They just gave up a two-run triple to a pitcher. Their will is bent. They're not coming back from this. Not so fast. With Bradley still pitching, Arenado comes up. It's a home run, 8-6. Okay. Right after that, Story comes up, hits home run. It's now 8-7. Butt cheek squeeze time again. Like, oh, crap. It's 8-7. They won't go away. Like, what the hell? Why won't this team go away? Because they don't go away. The Rockies just keep coming. So now we have the bottom of the eighth. You just got through the inning. You survived. You're still up one run if you're the D-backs, or D-back fans, I should say. So what do you get then? You come up. And you're trying to hold on to that run. You know you always want an insurance run, especially going into the ninth inning, especially with Fernando Rodney coming in. You don't quite know what you're going to get. Not quite sure. So we only get Goldschmidt to single left. And you get Lamb single to center. And then look out. What do you have? Another triple. Scores two. Scores Goldie, scores Lamb. Back up 10-7. Now you're feeling a little bit easy. Then you get Descanso, who was intentionally walked. Mathis reached on a bunt single. Pollock scored 11-7. Folks, we go to the top of the ninth. That ended the scoring for the Diamondbacks for that inning. Rockies come up again in the ninth. And what do you get now? Desmond single. Followed by a Gonzalez single. After Desmond moved over, he scored. You're like, crap, it's 11-8. Again. But that was it, folks. Door was shut, 11-8. D-backs win. D-backs move on. D-backs play LA. Series starts on Friday. The way it's set up, they'll play two in LA on Friday and one on Friday, one on Saturday. Day off, travel day on Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday, right back here in Phoenix to take on the D-backs. And the D-backs have played the Dodgers really close, but so have the Rockies. So I don't think either one of these teams would have been afraid to play the, quote, mighty, mighty Dodgers, who went on just a ridiculous tear in the middle of the season and then couldn't hit the ball as the season ended. You got to take your hats off to both teams. I mean, every time the Diamondbacks did something, the Rockies answered, but they couldn't quite catch them. Couldn't quite get over the hump. But all in all, a fantastic game played by two fantastic teams. And that's, you know, we got our money's worth on the wild card games. We definitely didn't get disappointing games. I mean, the Yankees and the Twins, they played great. That was a great game. Three quick ones for the Twins. Yankees come back with three more. You had a home run by the rookie Judge. I mean, everything just seemed to fall in place. Baseball, a lot of folks say it's becoming a regional sport. They keep playing playoff games like this. That they're going to have to stop saying that. The only thing I wish baseball would do, though, I really do, I wish start times would never be after 7 o'clock on the East Coast. I really wish they would do something about that. You don't want, I mean, if they're high-scoring games, the last thing you want, this game ended last night close to 10 o'clock. Even if it's 9 o'clock out west, do you really – how are kids going to start loving this game again if it's going off before they – you know, later than they can stay up? You don't want a game ending at midnight. 12:30, they're not going to watch it. But today I'm not going to talk about the problems. I'm just going to set this up for you. Boston is at Houston. Start their series today. Sale versus Verlander. Yankees and Cleveland start today. Sonny Gray versus Trevor Bauer. Tomorrow, the Cubs and a national start, Kyle Hendricks versus Steven Strasburg. And then, like I said, the Diamondbacks and Los Angeles. Diamondbacks haven't also started as of yet, but he'll be going against Clayton Kershaw. You know it would have been Greinke, but Greinke had to pitch. So they haven't set up their full roster as of yet. We have a call online. Let's take that call. Hey, caller, thanks for calling in. This is PLR. Who do I have online with me? Hello? We have a caller online. Caller, thanks for calling in. Who's online with me? Try one more time. I know we have a caller online. Caller, this is PLR. Who do I have online with me? All right. Well, it looks like we lost our caller. So right now we're going to switch over. Oh, actually, I don't know why I said that. We have one more thing to do. We've got to pick these divisional winners before we go any further. I'm going with Houston over Boston. I'm picking the Yankees to upset Cleveland. We'll go with the Cubs. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm just kidding. We're going to go with Cleveland to upset, and not upset, but beat New York. We're going to go with the Cubs over Washington and Arizona over the Dodgers. And I already know how it's going to go next round, but I'm not going to tell you. One, I might be wrong. And two, it wouldn't be fun if I told you everything right now. Switching over to a little bit of college football, we do this every Thursday. I give you the games that I think are worth watching, the highlight games of the week. And then you can decide for yourself, do I want to watch this? Or am I going to be bored off my tuckers? And this segment is brought to you by Tzatziki's Pita Grill, located in Tempe, Arizona. Elliot and Priest, get on down there for the best Mediterranean food in the valley. Let them know that PLR sent you. And they will take 10% off of your meal. Best thing about Tzatziki's Pita Grill, not only is it the best Mediterranean food in the valley, folks, everything there is made 100% fresh. You never have anything that's left over. Never have anything that you can't use again, nothing like that. It is absolutely the best place to go. Listen, folks, let me just say this. If they make it today, it's not being used tomorrow. And I've used this example before, and I'm going to use it again. If it's chicken today, it's not strips tomorrow, which turns into nuggets the next day. And if you want to go a step further, then that doesn't turn into a pot pie. Everything used today is from today. Tzatziki's Pita Grill, located on Elliott and Priest in Tempe, Arizona. Let them know that PLR sent you, and they will take 10% off of your meal. Okay, let's get into these college football picks, or not picks, but the games to watch. Louisville plays North Carolina State tonight. Look, I know there's an NFL game on. I know that New England is playing Tampa Bay in Tampa. And a lot of folks will be watching that game. But if you can pull yourself away for a minute, just a minute, I'm going to tell you, watch this game tonight. You definitely want to see LeVar Jackson play every single chance you can. He is a one-man offensive wrecking ball. Watch him. Check him out. Tonight, 5 o'clock, Arizona time, on the four-letter. So definitely check him out. Tomorrow night, Memphis plays Connecticut. Now you're probably saying, why would I want to watch Memphis and Connecticut play? Because Memphis is good. And you want to watch them play. Coach Norvell down in Memphis, I honestly think this is a stepping stone for him. He used to be the offensive coordinator over at ASU, took the Memphis job, and has done a fantastic job in Memphis. His team's always ready to play, and they're usually pretty entertaining, so you definitely want to check that out. Penn State goes to Northwestern this weekend. And you're probably thinking, why on God's green earth do I want to watch Penn State run all over Northwestern? Because I don't think they're going to run all over Northwestern, at least not early. I think they'll get better and stronger as the game goes along. But I think at the beginning, this game will be fairly entertaining. Northwestern never gets ran over at home. So I'm going to say definitely give a watch to this one. Penn State and Northwestern. Next game to watch. Miami at Florida State. I mean, there are so many reasons you could watch this game. Obviously, there's just a pure rivalry of the game. It's wide left, it's wide right, it's this, it's that. It's Bowden, it's Johnson, it's Bowden, it's Erickson. It's one of the greatest rivalry games. It's just fun to watch. But here's why this time. Miami is ranked, and they're really trying to do something. They're really trying to move up and show that they belong. Florida State is 1-2. Now, I don't have the stats, but I can tell you it's been a long time, if ever, that these two teams have played each other with Florida State having a losing record. So this is a must-watch, can't miss, because this is it for Florida State. They lose this game, and they drop to 1-3. We're talking scrapping back just to go to the Weed Eater Bowl or Weed Feeder Bowl or Weed Bowl or whatever it's called. They'd be in trouble. Next game, LSU goes to Florida. LSU has something to prove. Now I watched them play Troy. And I watched Troy kick their butts. This was not a fluke game. This wasn't Troy coming back and stealing momentum and winning the game down in Death Valley. No, this wasn't that. They didn't go to LSU and squeak out a win. They went to LSU and man-on-man beat their behinds. Now, the score looks closer than it was, but no, it wasn't that close. Troy went to LSU, and they manned up one-on-one and kicked LSU's butt. And now LSU is trying to bounce back, going to Florida, and I am still not impressed with Florida. I'm sorry. I'm not impressed with their offense. I'm not impressed with the Florida game. I'm not impressed with the way the games are called. I'm just not impressed. LSU knows they need to win this game. Florida knows that it's a bad look for them if they lose this game. So both teams are going to get your best out of them. So I'd give it a watch. Please don't expect anything more than a 9-6 score, because both these teams have trouble getting in the end zone. It might be a sleeper, but you got to watch it just because of the ramifications. Kent State goes to Northern Illinois. Northern Illinois with a tough loss out of San Diego State, but they're going to try to weasel their way back into a bowl picture. So if you can watch a little bit of that game, definitely do it. Alabama goes to Texas A&M. Now, do I really believe Texas A&M can beat Alabama? No. Do I believe any team other than Clemson could really beat Alabama? No. But that's the game that Bama gets upset, if they're going to get upset. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying they're going to get upset, but if they were to lose, this is the game that they lose at, just because it doesn't feel right. I know that has nothing to do with anything, but it just doesn't feel right. The other games to watch, Michigan State and Michigan. And I'm giving you a lot of games to watch, so tell your wife, girlfriend, whatever, you're going to be tied up on Saturday. You just got to watch Michigan State, Michigan, because we already know Michigan is a much better team, should win the game. It's a must-watch game. And then my dud of the week, stay away from, run away from, unless you're an alumni of either school, and even in that case, come up with a reason to go shopping with your mom, do not watch Illinois, Iowa. I don't care if it's a Power 5 conference. That game, the winner of that game just proves that they can beat a bad team. That's all it proves. And the loser of that game just proves they can lose a bad team. And that's all that's going to prove. Don't waste your time. Don't worry about it. Let it go. I do have to pick the pro game because it would be unfair if I didn't. I'm going with Tampa Bay over New England. New England to move to 2-3. At this time, on the Kerry Lackey Lawline, we have him on with us right now. He's going to give us baseball recap, preview a couple of these series for us. The one, the only, the Cuban Cowboy, Tony Capobianco. Tony, thanks for joining, buddy. What's going on?
I got 4 Patriot players on my fantasy team, so if they're going to lose to the Bucs, it better be a high-scoring game.
What's going on, buddy?
Good. How about some D-backs, huh?
I was just saying earlier in the show that I use the basketball analogy. When a team is trying to come back on you, you can't let them get the lead. You can't let them feel they came all the way back. And they did not allow them to do that. Every time they got close, they fought them off.
I mean, after you saw that home run from Descalzo, you had nothing to worry about. Everything was going to be okay. If that guy can get a home run in a playoff game, no matter how much it takes for Colorado to come back, you're fine. But I love is, I pointed this out last time, USA Today staff writer, the Dodgers. Dodger fans must be looking at that game like the Key and Peele sketch of all the constant sweating. They are shook. Dodger fans shook. Here comes
they should be
wearing spinning green jerseys.
Well, Tony, let me ask you this. Shouldn't they be, not only did they not play good baseball coming down the stretch of the season, the Diamondbacks owned them coming down the stretch of the season. And then to add to that, before you answer, you're pitching one of the best pitchers in baseball today, but in the playoffs, he's not always one of the best pitchers in baseball. So it seems like you got some stuff to worry about. And I think it's, if I were the Dodgers, I would be just a little bit worried about this game.
Even at their best, when you have the ESPN, is it going to be the best team ever in baseball? Arizona handled them pretty well. They were the closest team to combat the Dodgers at their best. And I think because of what happened in the wild card game, this plays in their favor pretty well. But now you feel much better at home than you do on the road. If you can get one game against Kershaw or Rich Hill, and you're throwing out Corbin or John Walker, then you must be feeling really good about yourself. Because at home, because of what happened in the wild card game, you're going to have Greinke at game three. And since Robbie Ray pitched as well, you might have him in game four. So you get your best guys against what might just be either Darvish at game three and maybe Kershaw's short rest, or they throw in Ryu or Maeda. Most likely, regardless of who they throw in, Diamondbacks have the advantage on both home games. So all I got to do is just get that one game on the road, and they may pull off the upset. Otherwise, you might have like a lost series by five games.
So who are you? Let's start this way. Boston is playing the Astros right now. Who wins that series? I picked the Astros, just so you know. Who wins that series?
I wouldn't blame you, because the Red Sox's biggest strength has always been their pitching. The top of the bullpen, their rotation, they've been neck and neck with the Indians for the best pitching staff in the American League. But winning the playoffs, one of the biggest reasons why it's random and the best team almost never wins all the time is because starting pitching becomes a wash. Like, the best thing that the Red Sox have is Chris Sale and Pomerantz. Well, they're going to go up against the Astros with Verlander and Dallas Keuchel. It's almost like a toss-up. It's almost the same thing where they may pitch pretty well in the first two games, and then once you get to game three and four, even though it's at home, we're talking about Porcello, who has felt worse than the first season. Forget the Cy Young season. He might be worse than the first season. And then Eduardo Rodriguez, who was pretty green and wasn't that good, or Fister. Fister had a good moment into the second half, but against whatever the Astros have, it might be a disadvantage. So I kind of agree with you with the Astros pick, but if the Red Sox are not only going to win this series but win the World Series, they're going to have to pull up a really nice San Francisco Giants impression, because that's kind of the type of team they have going on right now.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And see, here's what I think. I think the Astros hit their slump midseason, which is where you kind of want to hit your slump, and they start to get right at the end of the season. And not only did they start to get right at the end of the season, what I like about them is when they didn't do anything at the original trade deadline, those players were upset. They were flat pissed off at management for not making a move. They were real with themselves, and they said, are we good enough? Yeah, we think we're good enough, but we want to know we're good enough. You should have picked someone up. And lo and behold, they go out and get Verlander, who looked great for them coming over. He looked like he was rejuvenated, revived. He looked like himself again. And I just like the way that their bats are hitting. And I know this. If you get to Chris Sale early, you can get Chris Sale. You can't get to Chris Sale late. If he's sailing through and it's now fourth inning, fifth inning, you're not going to get to him. But if you can get to him early, especially in Boston, in Boston in terms of the team, you can get them. Because psychologically, if you get to their best guy, I think that sends a message to them. So I'm with Houston. What about New York and Cleveland? I was kidding when I said I picked New York, but obviously I picked the Indians. How do you see that series?
Have you ever seen a series before where both teams are claiming LeBron James as their biggest fan? because the Indians have 2016 LeBron James on their corner. And then you got the Yankees, who show 07, or like 2010 or 07 LeBron James holding up the Yankees hat.
That's funny.
Like,
I never thought about it like that.
LeBron's like fandom is sold right now. Because, yeah, he's all about Cleveland right now. It's like Ohio versus the world. But everyone thinks that he's going to leave Cleveland next after this season. So, like, all right, well, he's up for grabs. Maybe the Yankees can bring him back. But I like the Indians, I think, are the most complete team in baseball right now. They went into last year. They won the pennant last year without Carlos Carrasco, who was one of their best starters, who was injured, I think, around August or something like that last year. There, he's healthy, and he's really good. Bauer has finally broken out. The guy that we thought Arizona was going to be a stud is finally a stud over there in Cleveland. Cooper might be someone who upset Sale for the Cy Young. And there's Salazar has also been another breakout star. So they have a full-on rotation where they don't need their best guy to pitch 3 days rest. They're good in almost every game. Their lineup is better than almost everyone close enough to the Astros. So I can see a nice three-game sweep or a gentleman's sweep at best when it comes to the series.
You know what? Actually, I could see that. I think the Yankees will still win. I think their bats will come alive one game in the series, but I think they're going to get held down. I really do. You said it right on. Cleveland is the most complete team in baseball right now. So, yeah,
they're
I'm with you
favorite,
on that.
They're a favorite to win the World Series. It wouldn't surprise me if they finally pull it off. And it's not – and I don't know, because it's not going to feel like those special miracle seasons just because they haven't won in so long. It's going to feel like expected. They're going to come in feeling like the favorites. That is kind of weird, right? Like, you expect, Cleveland hasn't won anything in ever except that one that Cavaliers year. But they're going to go into this like a juggernaut. Does it feel like a magical, come-from-behind type season?
So we're not getting Major League, basically.
No, not at all. They're the Yankees with a different logo. They're the Yankees disguised as the Indians.
I will say this.
The Yankees are the Major League team right now. It's like they just switched jerseys.
Yep, they're the dream. Well, you know what? They had let's just be honest. There are three teams that are in this playoffs that we really didn't think would have really great seasons. I mean, the Yankees were young, so no one really thought that they were going to do too much. The Twins lost 100 games last year. The Diamondbacks lost 93 games last year. So these are teams we didn't even foresee coming in. We didn't think when Colorado started off the season very well, we still thought they would fade. I mean, we knew we'd have Boston. We didn't even know for sure 100% that the Astros would be there. But we had a good idea the Cubs would be there, the Dodgers would be there, the Nationals would be there, the Indians would be there. We pretty much had a good feeling, and Boston would be there. But we had a good feeling. But these other teams are playing extremely well, and I think for the first time in a long time, it's making baseball really fun and really relevant through the whole season. Tony, hang on 1 second. We have a caller online. I want to bring him in. Caller, thanks for calling. You're on with Tony Capobianco and PLR. How you doing today? Who am I speaking to?
Yeah, you're speaking with Tom?
Yep, this is Paul.
Hello.
How you doing today?
Hello.
Hello, can you hear us? How are you doing today?
Hello.
Caller, are you with us?
How you doing today?
Good. How you doing today? You're with PLR and you're with Tony. How you doing? What's on your mind?
So,
Caller, can you hear me?
Sorry, I'm having trouble with my service right now. But, speaking of the Yankees, I met Derek Jeter the other day, and, he gave me a nice hand job, and he was a really good sport about it.
So, Tony, back to it. moving on. I guess he had nothing better to do than to make a very difficult call with a very bad cell phone, only to be dropped. Okay, moving on. Yeah. We have.
I feel so much better about my Marlins now, knowing that.
Moving on. We have the Cubs and the Nationals. Pick that one. Handicap that one for us, Tony. We're running up against the clock, so let's get these last two in.
I got the Nationals winning the series. They're going to finally be in the NLCS.
Tony, you're wrong. You're wrong. And as a White Sox fan, that hurts
what?
To say, but you are,
what?
You're as wrong as the last caller. You are wrong, wrong, wrong. The Cubs are going to beat the Nationals because I absolutely am a fan of Dusty Baker, and this is a round he can't get past.
Fans like
something.
You, who he's hating.
Diamondbacks, Dodgers. Who you got?
It's weird. I got the upset, but if I say I got the upset, it feels like I'm picking the Dodgers. Because everyone's picking the Diamondbacks. But I like to see the Diamondbacks win the series.
I'll tell you what will be really weird to see.
People didn't expect this from the Diamondbacks. They expected this from the Diamondbacks last year when they got their ace and their second pitching and their New Jersey. This was supposed to happen a year ago. So it's funny how this becomes all of a sudden a surprise to everyone this year.
Very true. But, hey, the team responded this year. Played well together. Very well together. So I got a question for you. I'll tell you something. As everyone probably knows, I'm from Chicago. I'm not the biggest Cubs fan. But I have so many friends back home that are Cubs fans. If the Cubs play the Diamondbacks, I'm going to probably have more friendly gentleman bets that you could ever think of. And that would be the greatest series because Cubs fans come out of the woodwork all the time. And you know they're just laying around the valley right now, waiting, hoping, waiting, because they're already – the Cubs lead spring training and attendance down here every single spring. Do you know how odd it would be to see the Dodgers, I mean the Diamondbacks play the Cubs in a stadium at the ballpark where it might be 50-50 in fans? Do you know how crazy that would be?
I just want to point out that the last time the Diamondbacks played each other in the playoffs, the Cubs tried holy water all over, like splashed all over the dugout, and I think that series ended in a sweep and it ruined religion for like half the state.
Stop. Hey, look, I want to get your opinion on something really quick before you get out of here and the show's going to wrap up. But I want your opinion on Cam Newton yesterday in his press conference. Obviously, he said something that was ridiculous, you know, telling a female reporter he thought it was cute that she would ask about route running. Obviously, very insulting, obviously, very demeaning. I had someone tell me yesterday from the laughing that he did, from the smile on his face that he did, you could tell that he was joking around. And everyone took it too seriously. But by Cam not coming back, saying that or issuing an apology, he lost one sponsor late last night, this morning, and he still hasn't responded to that. What's your take on that whole deal?
If you've heard Cam speak a lot, and I listen to Bumpy Jones' radio show all the time, and every time Cam says something funny, they got a whole montage, Camism, of all the, like, he says, instead of platform, he says pinnacle. This does not surprise me at one, like, at all. Like, the fact that he did this does not come off as a surprise to me. And I think, at some point, I think people just gotta realize there are some people in sports or in the world where you just gotta look at them and say, the guy is a stenot. I don't need to take him seriously, so I'm not going to be as outraged as I would normally be with someone who I expect better from. I don't expect, outside of his play on the field, I don't expect that much out of Cam anyways. So the fact that he does this is not a surprise to me, so I'm not going to be as outraged as maybe the average person on Twitter is.
Real quick, should he be apologetic for it, or do you think he meant it? Okay. All right, hey, stick with us, Tony. We got one more call.
Yeah.
We got one more call real quick.
Oh, you were really great. Try another call today.
Caller, you are on the Tony on the Kerry Lackey Law Line with TLR and Tony. Who am I speaking to, and what's going on?
Oh, yeah, you're speaking to Dave from the Bronx.
Dave, how you doing today?
I'm good. Speaking of Cam Newton, you know, what a fucking asshole. You know, what the fuck? You know,
I knew it.
You know, that's horseshit. You know, he's a fucking asshole for saying that.
Okay, caller, listen, I had to let you go. The language got a little bad there.
I knew it.
Please call us, Tony. Please call us again, but we can't go with the language.
Let me
Tony.
Be the only guy at the Kerry Lackey Law Line. I knew that guy sounded a lot like Tom.
Alrighty, guys. Hey, listen, like I said, we enjoy the call-ins. We enjoy your opinions. But on language that we really can't do. Tony, tell everyone how they can get a hold of you.
You can follow me on Twitter at Tony Capobianco, and occasionally you can find some of my work on thesportskid.com.
And if you didn't read his article, I put it out there. I made sure that you guys got to see it before the Diamondbacks even played. So next time I tell you to read something beforehand, make sure you do. We got you next week for another baseball update. Sounds good.
You got it.
All right, buddy. Thanks for calling in.
Just me. No Tom. No Billy Bronx from the Bronx. It's me.
All right, buddy. I appreciate it. Have a good weekend now. All right, buddy. Later. That was the Cuban Cowboy, Tony Capobianco, on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Well, today was the only day that we got some F-bombs and a hand job. All righty. What a way to get into the end of a Thursday and start a Friday with tomorrow's show. F-bombs and hand jobs. All right. Thank you for listening to the Cave Show today. This is PLR and... make sure you follow us on social media at The Sports Cave on Instagram, Facebook fan page, and Twitter. And follow us online on our website at thesportscave.com. Never forget, Cave is always with the K. We had Richard Thomas from Fox 10 scheduled today. He had a last-minute assignment, so we're going to try to get him on Tuesday of next week. Make sure you follow me on Twitter directly as well. PLR on Sports. Thanks, Tony, for hanging out with us today. Really appreciate that. Everyone, enjoy those baseball games. I'm going to sneak this score in on you real quick. Strolls are up 2-0. They got to sell early. Let's see if they can hold on. So until next time, this is The Cave Show. This is PLR. Thanks for spending most of your day, or some of your day, rather, with us. Hopefully you're back tomorrow as we wrap it up, give you our football picks for the weekend. So until tomorrow, take care of each other, be safe out there. A lot of crazies. This is PLR, this is The Cave Show. I am the people, I am a helping hand, I am a hero. If anybody asks you,